Good morning and welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church in Leeds. Whether you're part of our gathering in Bramley, Horsforth or Headingley, or joining us for the first time, we pray that you will feel the presence of God with you today as we worship together. I am Tim Rowe and I am one of the elders in the church. As we start our service, let's hear the words of David from Psalm 145, beginning at verse 3. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendour of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Today we will be starting a new series entitled Living as People of God in Challenging Times. We seem to be living in a time of constant change at the moment. Today we can do this, but tomorrow we can't. Change is difficult and a whole industry has grown up helping people and businesses to adapt to changes that need to be made. Over the coming weeks, we will be looking at the Old Testament books of 1 and 2 Samuel, where God used Samuel to guide his people in the transition from judges to monarchy. We will learn more about Samuel, Saul, and David, focusing on key aspects of their lives that are relevant to our church as we navigate our way through the changes and challenges that we could not have envisaged just 1 year ago. Let's commit this time of worship together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to meet together today. We may not be together in our usual meeting places, but we are joined together by the knowledge that you are with us wherever we are. We pray that you will fill us with your Spirit and allow us to place you at the centre of our lives, not just through the period of this service, but in every moment of our lives. Amen. I'm now delighted to hand over to Paul Scholey, who will lead us in a time of sung worship. So, stand up. Fill your lungs and let's follow the instructions of Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Christ be in my waking, as the sun is rising, in my day of working, with me every hour. Christ be in my resting, as the day is ending, coming and refreshing, watching through the night. Christ be in my thinking, and my understanding, guarding me from evil, walking in the light. Christ be in my speaking, every word a blessing, pure and not deceiving, grace to all who hear. Jesus, this is my devotion, all my life to know you, every day to walk with you. Savior, you're my deepest longing, you're the one I live for, teach me, Lord, to walk with you. Christ be in my gladness, for the joy of living, thankful for the goodness of the Father's hand. Christ be in my sorrow, in my day of darkness, knowing that I follow in the steps he trod. Christ, when hope has died, nothing left to cling to, every pleasure jaded, every well is dry. Christ the loving shepherd draws me with his kindness, leads me from the desert to the streams of life. Jesus, this is my devotion, all my life to know you, every day to walk with you. Savior, you're my deepest longing, you're the one I live for, teach me, Lord, to walk with you.
Thank you, Paul. I'm delighted to say that Spike is leading the all-age talk today, ably helped by Kate Burkitt. Prayers will be led by John and Anne Pelham, and the reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1 will be read by Hazel Rowe. Peter Morden, our senior minister, team leader, will give the sermon entitled True Prayer. Before any of those, here is Peter with a notice.
Just a few notices from me as we move into a new year, and I've turned my laptop and my camera around so that you can hopefully see the snow that's falling here in Addel on Thursday afternoon. It's a lovely scene, and may God bless us as we move into the year ahead. Just a few things then. We have a new series starting today, first of all, a series where we're looking at selected passages from the Old Testament books of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. The title for this series is Living as the People of God in Challenging Times. And I am really excited about the passages that we're going to look at. I'm going to be kicking off the series today. We have a range of preachers who are going to be helping us with this material. So next week we have Jill Jones, one of our elders. The week after we have Lisa Holmes, who is pastor of Skipton Baptist Church and a Spring Harvest speaker. And there'll be various others who'll be joining with me in this series. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And as I have considered the passages that we're going to be looking at, I've been so encouraged and so challenged by what God is saying through his word, a real word for the moment, a real word for the times from these wonderful ancient books of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. The second thing to say is that obviously we are carrying on with our online services in these times of pandemic and lockdown. And one of the things that we are aiming to do is just to add a little bit more variety in what we're doing. This is a response to some of the things that have been said to us. We know that many people appreciate the format of these services, but we feel that the time has come just to add in a few more elements and to vary the structure of the services. And one of the things that we aim to do is add in a live element and to pilot that next Sunday. So we'll do it with the prayers. So those of you who are engaging with the service in real time, so 10:30 on a Sunday morning, there will be live prayers rather than pre-recorded prayers. At least that's the aim. We hope that it will work. Our wonderful technical people think that it will. So really looking forward to taking part in that. And so there is an extra incentive, if you can, to engage with the service in real time on 10:30 next Sunday. Know that that's not possible for everybody, but if you can, please do join us for the Facebook watch party, and we will have some live prayers as part of the service. More information about that will be coming out in the pastoral update in the week ahead. And then finally, for those of you who are church members at Cornerstone, just a reminder that we have a church members meeting on Thursday, this coming Thursday, via Zoom, with the time as 7:30. You will have received information about this from Greg McLean, our church secretary. And I just want to add my own encouragement to join us, if you can, church members of Cornerstone Baptist Church, at 7:30 on Zoom, with the normal login details applying for our church meeting on Thursday. And so once again, may God bless us, and may God continue to bless us as we engage in this service together.
Hello. Now we're going to start our All Age Talk off this morning with a short video clip from an organisation called Pursue God Kids. And the children in that video are going to tell us Hannah's story from 1 Samuel chapter 1.
Hey kids, have you ever really, really wanted something? Maybe you wanted to ride a fun roller coaster, but you were barely just too small. Maybe you wanted to carry groceries in, but you dropped a whole bag of stuff because you weren't strong enough.
Well, in today's lesson, we're going to learn about a lady named Hannah. She wanted something really, really bad, but she couldn't get it on her own.
Hannah could not have children, and people made fun of her for it. But Hannah was married to a guy named Elkanah, and Elkanah had another wife named Peninnah.
That sounds pretty weird, but it was pretty common in the Old Testament days.
Anyway, Peninnah had two sons. She made fun of Hannah because she didn't have any sons. And that made Hannah really sad and really desperate for a son.
Hannah promised that if she had a son, she would give him back to God. One day, Hannah went to the temple to pray.
She prayed really, really hard and told God that if she had a son, she would give him right back to God.
That just meant that when he was old enough, she would send him to live in the temple,
so that he could learn about God and follow God and work in the temple. God answered her prayer, and Hannah kept her promise.
Eventually, Hannah got pregnant and had a son and named him Samuel.
Once he was born, she took him back to the temple and left him there with Eli the priest. The priests were the dudes that were in charge of the temple.
It was probably hard for her to leave her son, but she had to keep her promise to God. So kids, what's the lesson we can learn from this story?
There are some things in life that only God can give us. Kids, there are some things in life that only God can provide. Memory verse!
God lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. Maybe you're really desperate for something in your life, like Hannah. Maybe it's hoping your dad can get a new job, or hoping a sick family member would get feeling better.
Kids, for the things that we can't do on our own, we can pray to God that He will do them for us.
Now that doesn't mean that God will give us everything, but if He thinks it's best for us, then He will.
So kids, next time you are too short for a roller coaster or not strong enough to carry groceries, think of this lesson.
And remember, there are some things that only God can.
Now I wonder what we have learnt from that story. Now Spike, we've learnt that Hannah was really sad because she couldn't have kids. So she turned to God and she prayed to Him, and she really needed God to perform a miracle because she knew that she couldn't do it on her own. Hannah was so desperate to God to answer her prayer that she promised Him something. She promised Him that if He gave her a child, she would give that child back to God. Now God did answer her prayer and He gave her a child named Samuel. And when Samuel was a little bit older, Hannah brought him to live with a priest named Eli, and Eli trained him to work in the temple. So Hannah kept her promise to God. Now in the story, Hannah prayed really, really hard to God. Really hard, didn't she? Yeah. And prayer is simply talking to God. God made us and He loves us so much. He wants to have a relationship with us and He wants to be our friend. And the great thing about prayer is that we can pray anywhere at any time, can't we? And we don't have to use long fancy words, and our prayers can be as long or as short as we want. God always hears our prayers, which is great, isn't it? Now, the most important thing about true prayer is that it comes from our heart. And God always wants to know how we're feeling deep down. Now, He wants to hear our prayers of thanks and joy and praise, but He also wants to hear when we're feeling sad and troubled. Now, Hannah prayed really, really hard. She was sad and troubled, wasn't she? And I know for a fact that she cried when she prayed. Now, oh, you want to say something to me? Does God always answer our prayers? That's a really good question, Spike. Now, sometimes God answers our prayers straight away. Sometimes God answers our prayers a little bit further into the future. But sometimes He doesn't answer our prayers. He chooses not to, because that's what's best for us. And sometimes He answers our prayers in a way that we really don't expect at all. But He always hears us and He always does what's best for us. Now, Hannah didn't give up, did she? She kept on praying for what was on her heart. She was really persistent. Now, I want to show you here a heart that I've got. Can you see? And on one side it says my prayers, and on the other side it says what's on my heart. So this is something that I've made with all the things that I've been lifting to God recently. Can you see? You're gonna have a little look. Oh yeah, what can you see? Now on one side you can see that there's a picture of some children working from home and pointing at one of the little girls pointing at a screen. And it can be a little bit tricky, can't it, remote learning from home? And because the schools are closed for most children, lots of children are working from home at the moment in the UK and across the world, and that can be really tricky sometimes. It can be really tricky for the mums and dads who are having to juggle work and helping their children, and it can also be tricky for the teachers as well. So, yeah, families and children working from home are really on my heart at the moment. Now, on the other side, you can see that there's a lady. She's quite an old lady. Can you see, Spike? And she is blowing out some candles on her birthday cake. Now, that's Gramps. That's Mike's grandma. That's my husband's grandma. And she is 100. But really sadly, she's in hospital at the moment because she's not very well. That's sad, isn't it? So, yeah, she's been on my heart. And I've been lifting both of these things up to God a lot recently. And I'm wondering what's on your heart today and what you can lift up to God.
I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna deafen the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I will run this race and I will never stop. I'll follow Jesus till the day I drop. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you've got such a lot, when you've got not a lot, what? Be happy. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna deafen the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven. I will run this race and I will never stop. Follow Jesus till the day I drop. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you've got such a lot, when you've got not a lot, what? Be happy. I'm gonna jump up and down, gonna spin right around, gonna praise your name forever. I'm gonna shout out loud, gonna deafen the crowd, gonna send my praise to heaven.
Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to you today knowing that you will be with us as we worship you. You are Almighty God, the Creator of all things, and yet you know each one of us better than we know ourselves. You made us to be your people and to be in relationship with you. You're always with us, always ready to hear our prayers. In fact, you want to hear our prayers.
And so, in all humility, we ask you to hear our prayers today. We confess that, despite knowing that, there are times when we act without thinking, when we act without seeking your guidance. You know the plans you have for us. And if we humbly seek you and listen to you, you will answer us. We know that sometimes your plans are not what we might wish for or expect. But we acknowledge again that you are Almighty God and that ultimately you are in charge of all things, even in these uncertain times. It is a comfort to us that you never change. You're the same today as you always have been, and we can trust that you will remain the same tomorrow and forever.
We pray that you will help us to be constant and faithful to you as you are to us. Especially, we ask that you will strengthen us through the power of your Holy Spirit and keep us strong and faithful in prayer. We pray that you will strengthen your church. Help us all to be a true voice for you, unafraid to speak out and always acting in love.
Lord, we pray for us all as we navigate through these difficult times. We ask for wisdom, discernment, compassion and understanding for those who lead us in government here in the UK and throughout the world. We pray especially for America, where there is such turmoil and uncertainty now. We pray that there will be peace and reconciliation in that great nation.
We pray too for all those in the front line of healthcare in the UK. Nurses, doctors, care workers, support staff. Strengthen them, we pray, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually too. We ask that you will hold them close and protect them as they continue to work under such difficult circumstances. They are making such sacrifices for us, Lord, and we lift them to you, asking that you will protect each one.
Thank you, Lord, that we can look forward with hope to a time when all that has happened in this last year and that is still with us will be but a memory. We know that for many there will be painful memories, and we ask that you will comfort all who mourn the loss of loved ones. We are so thankful that vaccines have been developed to fight COVID-19, and we pray for the success of the vaccination programme in the UK and throughout the world too.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have another hope too, a hope for a better future, one where there will be no pain, no sorrow, eternity with you, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus. Amen.
This morning's reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Before I start, please forgive me for any mispronunciations of the names I'm about to read. The birth of Samuel. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Penani. Penani had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favour in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him."
Hannah dedicates Samuel. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfil his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there.
Well, do you get stressed? Do you get anxious? Do you worry about things? I suspect that everybody who's engaging with this would say yes to that set of questions, maybe to different degrees, but all of us experience this. And I think we all experience this, especially in this time of pandemic and lockdown. And as I've shared before in blogs and through these messages, you know that I am absolutely not immune to this, and that it's something that I struggle with. We're looking today at Hannah, a great woman of God, and we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 1. I've entitled this message, True Prayer, and indeed, this passage shows us wonderful prayer, prayer as it really is, deep and heartfelt. But I could also have titled this message, The Antidote to Worry, The Antidote to Anxiety. Not an easy antidote, to be sure, but something that is wrung out of deep experience, a way forward that helps us in these times of stress and anxiety. So that's where we're going today. And I want to begin just by highlighting Hannah's situation. We see that she is in deep distress. Verse 7 really sums up the situation, but just looking through our passage, we see all sorts of words and phrases that speak of Hannah's distress. We read that she wept. We read that she would not eat, that she was downhearted, that she experienced deep anguish, bitter tears, and misery. And so there's no doubt that she is anxious and stressed. Plus, she is in a really tough situation. The specific thing for her is childlessness, which is a terrible thing. And in the culture of the day, there were some added burdens for women to carry. For Hannah, there is Peninnah's taunting, but also there is the wider context that childlessness was seen as a sign of God's disfavour. I want to say right at the beginning that my heart goes out to childless couples. My heart goes out to women who, for whatever reason, have wanted to have a child and it's not happened. Maybe you are engaging with this and this fits you. God is with you. God is for you. And God wants to be gracious to you. but also in this time of pandemic. As we think about Hannah's situation, we can think about our perhaps very different situations and the stress and the worry and the anxiety that we feel. This has been heightened for us in these times, hasn't it? I don't think anyone has been left unaffected. And we've been affected in different ways. I want to share something personally. Some of you who have listened to the podcast will already have heard this. But a few weeks ago, I lost my wedding ring. It fell off probably when I was out running. And we've not been able to track it down. And although if you're out in Adel, please do have a look. I think it's probably likely that the ring is now lost. And it just brought to a head for me just that sense of struggle and stress through the pandemic. God has helped me in so many ways, given me resilience, given me grace, and I know that many of you can identify with that as well. But I must confess that in those moments of searching for the ring, my frustrations and sadness about pandemic and about lockdown came to a head. Obviously, I'm so wonderfully happy to be married, and that is just one of the many graces from God that are in my life. But it's not been as we would have wanted. We weren't able to have the wedding ceremony that we wanted. Our children weren't there. You weren't there. And that was really sad for us. We weren't able to have a proper honeymoon. We'd booked a couple of weeks, end of January, beginning of Feb, as a second honeymoon. We're going to take that time, but we're certainly not going to be jetting off to any exotic locations. We're not going to be getting out of North Leeds. And although we love being here and it's so special to be in this city, I have to say, and I'd hope you don't mind me saying this, it's not my first choice in terms of a honeymoon destination. And so there are all these frustrations and even the ring falling off. We always knew that it was too large. We were going to get it resized after the wedding, but we weren't able to get over to York because of pandemic and lockdown. And so there's all these things that cause frustration and struggle and difficulty. And as much as I tried to say to myself, well, lots of people have it worse than you, and that's absolutely true. As much as I tried to say, focus on God and the gospel and the many graces that are in your life, focus on the wonderful church that you're privileged under God to lead. As much as I said all of those things, I still felt sad, and it was a tough moment. And I'm sharing this because maybe you identify with this in some way. Maybe there are just frustrations that are built up for you. It may be that you are in a far, far tougher situation, far, far tougher set of circumstances than the ones that I have described personally. To one degree or another, we identify with Hannah in her distress, in her anxiety, in her worry, in her sense, yes, perhaps, of depression. But what we do get here is, I believe, a way forward. Not an easy way forward, but nevertheless a way forward. So let's notice a few things from these wonderful verses. First of all, before we think about Hannah's prayer, it's good to note that she, a wonderful woman of God, felt like this, felt downhearted. We have a phrase that we say today, don't we? It's okay not to be okay. And this is, in a sense, the Bible's version of that. The Bible was there long before, because Hannah, great woman of God that she is not okay. And God, in the way that he deals with her, says it's okay not to be okay. She's in deep distress. She's weeping bitter tears. She is struggling to eat. And God comes to her in grace and mercy. If this is how you're feeling today, it's okay not to be okay. Our God says so. The Bible says so. The Bible affirms that people in distress, people in difficulty, people with depression, God is for such people. A great woman of God, Hannah, but someone in great distress. It's okay not to be okay. And then we see that she brings God into her situation. She comes to him in prayer and she lifts her request to him. We further see that she leaves that request with God. Verse 18, which we'll come back to in a moment, is really important. She gives something to God and she doesn't take it back. She leaves it with him. As the passage unfolds, we see a number of other things too. Just wrestling with my notes here. She focuses on glorifying God. That's the final thing. So she offers Samuel, her firstborn son, to God. She does that before she knows that she's going to have a child to God in prayer, and she makes good her vow. So she not only prays, she not only leaves it with God, but she focuses on God. And in the terms that we would use as New Testament people, she focuses on God and the gospel, the good news. She puts God first. And what I want to do, just as the message comes to a close, is really apply this to our hearts and make it real and do a sort of extended takeaway, which I hope will be helpful for us when we're in times of distress. I have found this helpful, actually putting this into practice in my own life, and I hope that you will find it helpful too. And the takeaway is ABC. It's not simple, it's not simplistic, but it is something that helps us to remember. Ask God to work, believe that God has got it, and cherish God and the gospel. So first of all, ask God to work. In your own distress, in your own anxiety, in your own struggles, bring them to God in prayer. I'm going to make a confession now. As a pastor, I hope you're not too upset with this, but there are times when I recognize that I don't do that in the way that I'm invited to. I chunter away to myself about a particular situation, but I don't turn it to God in prayer. I think, reflecting on myself, one of the issues is that I'm a fairly polite, middle-class Englishman of a certain vintage, and we sort of think, or we can easily think, we can't come to God in real distress. We can't express to God how we really feel. We need to pray in polite phrases, finely phrased prayers that are calm and quiet and contemplative. And of course, there's nothing wrong in praying in that way. Quiet and calm and contemplative can be good. But that's not how we see Hannah praying here. She is deeply in distress. She is praying in such a way that Eli the priest thinks that she is drunk. And to people like me, to middle-class Englishmen, God says through his word, don't be afraid to come to me and express your heart. Don't be afraid to be absolutely authentic and real in prayer. Great saints of the past have talked about this. John Bunyan, C.H. Spurgeon. Spurgeon said this, that prayer from the heart is the heart of prayer. Okay? Prayer from the heart is the heart of prayer. We can express our feelings to God, and we can come to him just as we are, and he receives our prayer. So Ask God what you need. That's the A. Bring your request for him. Ask God to come and work in the situation. The B is believe God has got it. And I mentioned verse 18, we see that Hannah, having poured out her heart to God, leaves it with God, and her face is no longer downcast. I read that in the sense that, you know, she's still churned up inside, but her face is different. She knows that she's brought it to God, and she's going to leave it there. She's determining to leave it with God. I found this both really helpful and a personal struggle. Go to the New Testament verse, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Take every thought captive. And I'm trying so hard to do this. Our minds matter. And sometimes we bring something to God, we lift it to him, but then we take that back from him. And we worry about it and we worry about it. The challenge, it's not easy, but the challenge in the power of the Spirit is to follow Hannah's example and to believe that God has got it, to leave things with him. And then finally, the C is to cherish God and the gospel in the way that Hannah does through her son, through offering her son to God. I've got an illustration here just as we come to the close of this, and it's a bowl, and it's got this brown paper in it, and the brown paper represents our worries. Why is it important to cherish God and the gospel? Well, sometimes this is what can happen when we offer our anxieties to God. So we may have an anxiety over illness, over COVID, and we offer that to God, and so we take that out of the bowl. We may have anxieties over how things are on our front line, our jobs, how we're going to engage for God there, particularly difficult situations that we have to face, and we offer that to God, so we take it out of the bowl. Concerns about family and friends, maybe concerns about God and the gospel, and why is God not working in this situation, and we offered it to him. And I've got one worry left in the bowl, and I'm not going to name it. If there's something that you are deeply concerned about, then insert your own worry here, and we offer that to God. And all of that is good. Ask God to work and believe that he's got it. But when the bowl is empty, it's very easy for the worries to come, and they come back in because there's a bit of a vacuum, because there's emptiness, then the worries can crowd back in. However, if we cherish God and the gospel and we focus on the wonderful good things that he's given us, then they can fill up the bowl so that there's no room for the worries to come back. I've got some appropriately brightly coloured pieces of paper here. This is the attention to detail that you're getting today. And we can imagine these as good and gospel things. So we might praise God for his forgiveness, his 70 times 7 forgiveness for us in Jesus. If we believe in him, that is something that we have. And so that goes into the bowl. We're cherishing God and the gospel. We may think about the good and gracious Holy Spirit in our lives, sent into our hearts by Jesus and the Father, giving us power to change, giving us power to live differently. And we praise God for that. We praise God for other dimensions of the salvation that we have. All the wonderful Bible words which sound a bit complex: redemption, renewal, salvation, the good and great things that God has given to us. We reflect on those things. We drill down deeply into them, and we add that to the bowl. We think about the plan and purpose that God has for us, that he's called us for such a time as this, and that goes into the bowl. And then again, I'm going to leave this one blank, as it were. Something that you're so grateful to God for. It might be a friendship. It might be your church. It might be your small group. We count our blessings and we put that into the bowl. And your worries can still come back in, but it's much harder. There's not room for them really to come in because we're focusing on good and gospel things. And so A, B, C. Not simplistic, not simple in practice, but nevertheless something that we can use to help us through. Ask God to work, give our worries and anxieties to him, believe with Hannah that God has got it, and again with Hannah, cherish God and the gospel so that there's less room for these worries to come in. I've been seeking to practice this myself today, and I know that I fail and I struggle and I fall, and those worries and anxieties come back in. If that's you as well, don't give up and don't feel defeated. Keep putting this into practice. Obviously, and it's important that I say this, if you suffer from chronic anxiety, then it's good that you get help. Don't feel, again, that I'm offering simplistic solutions to a complex problem. But for many of us, I think the Bible here gives us an antidote that can really help us to move forward beyond our worries and our anxieties and our stress. So may God bless us as we put this into practice, as we seek to be the people of God in these challenging times, as we seek to engage in true prayer, and as we discover in practice, as well as in this passage, the antidote to worry and to stress and to anxiety. Just going to lead us in a spoken prayer now. Lord, I especially want to pray today for those who are struggling personally with these issues. Perhaps it's been a problem for many years. Perhaps it's a problem that has flared up in the pandemic. Perhaps it's a combination of those two things. Lord God, we pray for our friends, we pray for one another. And we praise you now that you are the great and mighty God, the prayer answering God, who accepts our prayers not as we would wish them to be, but as they are. Think of the words of the hymn, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Lord, thank you that we can come to you just as we are. Thank you that we can offer our prayers to you. And thank you that you encourage us to leave things with you, to believe that you have got it. Lord, we know that you don't always transform the situations that we face. Sometimes you give us grace to endure, grace to journey through. But we do believe that you, the good and gracious God, are more than big enough to take care of our worries and our anxieties and our stress. And Lord, we pray now that we would also be those who follow Hannah's example in cherishing God and the gospel. We thank you for the wonderful Lord Jesus and for all he is to us. Help us to reflect deeply on these things. Help us to meditate on them and on your plan and purposes for our lives, so that our life is filled with good things, so that those worries, well, they try and crowd back in, but it's so much more difficult because our lives are full of good and God and gospel. So Lord, help us to put this into practice, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
As our time together draws to a close, I would like to thank everyone who has taken part in today's service, either in front of or behind the camera. It takes a significant amount of effort to put this together, and we could not have done it without any of you. If you're watching in real time, don't forget to join the after service watch party. Details of how to log in are included in the pastoral letter. You may be worshipping with us from outside of Leeds. If you are, why not drop us an email on info@cbcl.org.uk and introduce yourselves to us. We would love to hear from you, and you may even get a mention during a future service. Let's close our time together in prayer. Lord God, thank you for the time that we have spent together today. Although we are spread out around the world, help us to become a united church, supporting each other and sharing each other's burdens. Thank you for the time of worship and the opportunity to listen to your word, both through the Bible and the sermon. Help us to ponder on the words that you've placed into our hearts and allow us to draw closer to you as we put those thoughts into action in our lives throughout this coming week. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. May I wish you God's richest blessing throughout this coming week. Goodbye.
Not even in part of the death.